Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
That's right. It's that time of week again. Teron Davenport, TD, ESPN NFL Nation, brought to you by ESPN Bet. TD, it's been a busy week here on these airwaves. We're all gearing up for the Titans. I think we've hit like every topic imaginable about this team. What have we not talked about, TD? What is burning in your brain right now about this Titans team or camp next week that maybe we haven't discussed enough? How about that?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I don't think there are any stones that have been left unturned. And that's what happens when you hit the dull season and with a team that doesn't normally have a lot of excitement surrounding them. So it is what it is.
Nick, not hooking me up on my microphone. You talked to Rob Williams, who works with Will Levis, on your pod. I apologize, I haven't had a chance to listen to that. For those of us who didn't, give us a bit about what Williams talks about with regard to working with Levis and maybe what they've worked on when they're separate of during time separate from the Titans.
Yeah, if you want to nerd out or geek out, whichever way you want to call it, if you want to do that on QB techniques, he's the guy to talk to. Basically, what he discussed was just the way he helped Levis go from a natural, like pure arm thrower to understanding how you get a lot of strength and oomph on your passes by using your core, your big muscles in the core. So he talked about that and just, you know, how they've gone about, you know, progressing since he was at Penn State when they first got together. So it's pretty good stuff. I will say this. I know watching them that time that Rob Williams came here and they had a little passing camp over at Lipscomb. I mean, we're on the field for like an hour, 45 minutes, and they hadn't even picked up a football yet. So that's the level of concentration that they have just going from your feet all the way up to your shoulders before you even throw the ball.
Yeah, well, that is interesting. Obviously, Levis, I do feel like actually this week, like TD was in here Tuesday, and there is a lot of like, other than Levis, what's the big story? Other than Levis, you know, this or that, but Levis is the story. So I do want to nerd out a little bit about Levis. First of all, I found it interesting. He talked to us in the spring about maybe trying to get, you know, these coaches here with his guy, which, I mean, every quarterback has a guy, right? And then they you kind of – every quarterback is like is synthesizing information from two different sides and trying to put it all together. But also it does sound like, you know, Brian Callen in particular was big on the footwork, the base, that as a vehicle toward more consistent accuracy. Because I've said it, and maybe you guys disagree with me. I know the decision-making piece is definitely a thing too, but I just think being able to hit those layups over and over again consistently is such a huge part of him being able to be the guy they want him to be, right? Like, you got to be able to get it in there over and over and over again on time and accurately. And then some of the other things he has, which are obviously he has a lot of talent, can flourish. But what about first of all, both of you, do you guys agree with me? Like, that's the biggest question with him?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that he has to do is learn to take advantage of what the defense is giving him. And when I say that, I'm not saying, you know, allow them to dictate, you know, what he does, but you know, if they're playing top down, right, and that crosser is open, just take it. Get the free yards. You know, I think that's really the case. And it's something he's worked on since he got here, right? Just the touching, touch pass and anticipation, you know, he's been working on that, the timing as well. And I think, you know, when you look at overall what they're doing with the footwork, and you can watch him, you know, Bo Hardigree, I think, you know, he impressed me, you know, just watching him, just some of the drills, like when he's throwing the bags at them and they're, you know, resetting their feet and throwing. That way, they're little sandbags that he throws at them. But I think, you know, the thing that they're working on is getting that footwork sped up a bit and being able to be in sync with the drops that he has to make to be in sync with the routes by the receivers. That's one of the big focuses. And I know in talking to Rob Williams, the big thing that they wanted to do was make sure that, you know, he was able to load up that power so when he takes the last step, you know, it's just he plants and it springs forward and he gets something on the ball and the throw is out quickly.
Yeah, TD wrote a good piece about the mechanics. I think it's really important, and I hope he's at that point or gets to that point quickly where this footwork leading into the base of the top of the drop and being able to take a shorter first step before the ball comes out. You got to get to a point where all that stuff's second nature, and he's not doing any thinking about that stuff in the flow of a play. And all quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, go through some of that. But there's a line where, you know, you're thinking about that during workouts and stuff. And then when you're in a practice session, you're not thinking about it at all. It's got to have become second nature. And you're thinking about the read stuff and the play. And so I think that's a really important distinction for him that, you know, he didn't seem to have a problem at certain points in games not looking like he was thinking about what he was doing, and he needs to be more like that more often.
TD, what about Levis? We saw it last year. I mean, he wasn't afraid to get after people at times on the sideline. He has, I think, like some natural leadership ability, but in a year where everybody knows the Titans are trying to find out if he's a long-term guy, can he be a leader for this team? Is that the expectation? Is it still a kind of a transition in that way?
I don't think it's a transition. I think that has happened already. And if you guys remember Arden Key, you know, he said multiple times how, right, it wasn't Jeffrey Simmons breaking him down. It was Will Levis, right? And he said that they accepted it, liked what he was saying, and it resonated with them. So you do have that. And I think you also look at what he did right with the passing camp. Like, he put it together. He said, hey, look, man, you five guys, come on, we're out, go to Cabo. And then you also look at what they're doing. You know, he and Malik Willis, you could catch them at Vanderbilt's practice field, right? You know, with Mason Kinsey and WI and Ridley and some of the other guys, you know, Chig Okonkwo, you know, they're out there or, you know, doing running routes, you know, on air. So I think those are examples of how he's already done it. I don't believe it's a transition at all. I think it's actually happened.
I agree. I think he's there. I think the quarterback's automatically there no matter who he is. It's just a matter of how good he is at it, how natural
But there's
it
a
is
difference if you're
a
established, if you're the guy and you're trying to prove you're the guy, right? I mean, yeah. I agree. Like, he has all the ingredients to do it for sure.
Yeah. But I think, you know, the two great games he had last year showed guys that he can be a winning quarterback in the league. They like his moxie. They love his arm and the quick release. All the stuff that we talk about, they talk about and know about and have full faith in. You also, you know, kind of don't have a choice. But you want to like that guy, and he's super likable. So in that regard, he's ahead. Or doesn't have to do any work. It's that's happened already. So, you know, he starts ahead there.
Okay, so I'm going to ask both of you. We'll put it on, and we may have done this before and I forgot. Who knows? But whatever. We'll do it again today. Right now, you have to bet a reasonable sum of money on that Will Levis is going to, like TD said the other day. I mean, he's fighting for 250 mil right now. I mean, that's like that. If he gets this done and he gets that next deal, right? If you had to bet right now that he is going to get that and he is going to be the quarterback of this franchise when they open the new stadium, or he is not, you have to bet one way or the other. Which way are you guys going?
Well, I'll give odds. How about?
No.
I'll give odds.
No, it's money line. You have to bet yes or no, period. No odds.
I give him a 60% chance of being
no, you have to bet your house. Yes or no?
I don't bet my house.
Dude, don't do this. TD, will you please indulge my question? God, Kaharsky, so annoying.
I mean, I'm straddling the fence with that one, but to give you some classroom participation, I will go ahead and I would say yes.
Thank you.
But not because I think he's going to be a top five passer. I would say yes because, you know, nowadays, even if you're, you know, top 10, top 15, like, remember, this organization paid Ryan Tannehill $100 million.
Right.
So I think he's going to put – it's likely that he puts them in a situation where they're like, okay, we're looking like the Jacksonville Jaguars with Trevor Lawrence as far as, like, I don't know that we're going to find something better. We could possibly, but I don't know that we're going to find something better, so let's go ahead and pay him. I think that's going to be the situation.
I think that's a very good reasoning, too.
What it would cost us to go get somebody who could be better is too big a deal. And so, therefore, we have to pay him.
Yeah. You don't have to be Patrick Mahomes to get the second deal.
Yeah. But that's a mistake in a lot of cases. You see it happen with Daniel Jones and people who, you know, haven't even flashed the way Levis has flashed in those two games that he flashed. So it's not necessarily the right thing to do, but it gets done a lot.
All right, this ended up being good. See, going to Levis. Levis is a good topic. TD, thank you, my friend, and we will, I guess we'll see you out there Tuesday.
See you next week.
All right, yeah, see you guys next week.
Take care.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation. When we come back on Robbie Rexwell, we will react to some of that. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex are 125, 106 through the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Reacting to Teron Davenport, we had some good Levis conversation, but also PK. I want to. The text line sort of. I don't know.
Paused itself.
Yeah, it sort of. I don't know. It came all at once, so rather than kind of getting to reactions in real time on this show, I'm going through and I'm going to pick out a few of my favorites and we can sort of bounce those around. So first of all, on Derrick Henry and the Titans' decision from the top, from up high, to not go through with the trade that Rand Carthon had, I guess, I don't know about agreed with, but at least had constructed, had a framework was in place with Carthon and Eric DaCosta. Mike from Nashville says, got to respect the decision, I believe. I think he's referring to that. The decision to keep Henry and go through the whole season rather than get a fourth or possibly a third based on some landmarks that he could have hit. Michael in Madison says, the final game against Jacksonville alone was worth not making the deal. I don't care what the package for him was. At the end of the day, I'm going to be able to tell my future kids all about Derrick Henry, what he meant to us, without that sour taste in my mouth, or giving him up for a mid pick. And that's worth more than any dice roll draft pick we could have gotten. Giving up a Mount Rushmore player would need more than a fourth for me. Zach in Nashville. Football.
That by the way, is a sounds like a 12-year-old about his favorite player.
Well,
all based on sentimentality.
Fans aren't supposed to – can't be – if fans are sentimental about their team, they're 12-year-olds?
No, it's just you got to come to terms with reality. Like, that speech was worth that much? That third rounder could be the edge rusher that makes this year's team good.
Could be.
So I think it's irrational.
But the fan, well, I disagree with you. The fan experience still, though, is like fans remember stuff like that. You don't, I mean, I'm not going to compare it to Lou Gehrig. I think you were there that day, right, when Lou Gehrig gave his speech?
I was there.
Yeah, I'm not going to compare it to that, but I mean, there are moments that fans have with players that do make memories, right? You have to be you're just a little kid if that's how you look at it?
I just think I'm practical.
Yeah.
All right? 9 extra games of Derrick Henry and that speech, which was not Lou Gehrig, to me is not worth the pass rusher who could be the missing link on this year's team to get to the playoffs. And what I want as a fan are playoff appearances, not speeches.
Okay. Zach from Nashville says, back then I was pro-trading Derrick Henry starting the 2023 offseason. However, I would have felt that was a letdown of a haul, but eventually would have come to terms with it. And now with hindsight, they absolutely should have done it.
I think that's a better haul than I would have expected. If they could have got a conditional third for Derrick Henry, That is better than I would have expected.
I mean, I have to also this
for not a 10 or 9 or 8 games of Derrick Henry.
Also, Lance, again, I'm going through the text line. This is like text line leftovers right now. I'm going through some of my favorites. Lance wants to know your favorite Journey and Def Leppard song. So I want you to, you know, marinate on that.
Separate Ways, probably.
Okay.
I'm not a huge Def Leppard guy.
Def Leppard songs?
I like the songs, but I won't say, oh, my favorite Def Leppard song.
Okay. I'd probably go, I don't know, I might go Animal. You know, that's a great song, 1987. I do have a texter who says, sorry, Paul, but Joe's impression of you is pretty good. Thank you for that. Dennis has a really interesting question, and I like this one. Dennis says, I want you to know your thoughts on what type of head coach Callahan is. Will he be a go-for-it-on-fourth-a-lot coach? Will he be a gambler type? And what current head coach would he most compare to?
We don't know. We don't know these things. Well, the current head coach that we would most compare him to is Zach Taylor, who we worked under for the last 5 years. Zach Taylor was 19th in the most aggressive coach index put together by Aaron Schatz, formerly of Football Insiders, in terms of going for it on fourth down. I think the Titans are going to use analytics more, that he'll be analytics-driven, chart-driven with a dose of gut instead of gut-driven with a dose of analytics.
Which is what you would call Vrabel, basically.
More
gut-driven.
More gut-driven than Callahan.
But not dismissive of analytics like some people thought.
No, and he was more aggressive on this chart than Zach Taylor. But, I mean, Zach Taylor's the guy who he's going to be most like.
Yeah. Yeah, look, Dan Campbell, some people love that stuff, and that's great, and, like, it's confidence in your team and all that stuff, but sometimes it's really stupid, okay? Like, Dan Campbell has done some really stupid stuff. He also, I think he's a good head coach in terms of leader, you know, leader of people and all that stuff. So he happens to have a really good roster. I think letting analytics lead is definitely the way to go. And then you got to be comfortable at times just you do have to be comfortable at times dismissing it, though, too, right? Like, you have to be comfortable at times saying, I understand what that says.
But not now.
And the probability says this, but this matchup or this particular play, especially if we get that look, is going to, you know, I mean, things right. like that. I mean, there's a lot of information. In a short
All that's
of time
important, but not
coaches
right now.
Have to do. Right. Michael Madison says, PK sounds like the Grinch. I guess you're not allowed to have fun and enjoy greatness. I do think you're a little tough on the fans who like are glad that they got Derrick Henry for the whole year. You know, I mean, it's not the,
for the whole, what they win last year, 6 games.
I understand, but there are personal connections with personal, like Derrick Henry, as a player. There are a lot of people who are gonna, 10 years from now or whatever, think about moments for him, and of course his best moments were also when the team was good too. But moments for him that are gonna be independent of did they go that year? They go 9-7. Did they go?
I was around for all of those games. I was at every one of those games. I looked around, saw a lot of empty seats. I didn't see a lot of people that were like, I gotta see Derrick Henry's last 8 games with the Titans. I can't miss these because they didn't trade him for a potential 3rd-round pick.
So because
that might be a huge thing for.
So
next
because
year.
Some people didn't show up, that dismisses the people who did.
I'm just saying.
What about the people who were there, Paul? You don't care about them?
It's fine. Worship your hero. That's not the way I look at a team.
I mean, obviously, in retrospect, right now, I would certainly agree. Yeah,
I think they should have traded everything they could have traded last year to get everything they could have gotten to put themselves in the best situation to have as much capital as they could have.
Okay, on Levis, Dustin from Hopkinsville. I think Levis is Ryan Fitzpatrick with way more athleticism. That's after his first year. Can only go up from there. I'd rather have Fitzpatrick than Tannehill all day, every day. Wow.
Well, that's ridiculous.
We got some hot takes coming out from Dustin.
Tannehill is much more consistent week to week, though he had bad weeks, than Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick had magical Sundays, and then he had absolute duds. And I know you're going to immediately point to Tannehill against Cincinnati in the playoffs as an absolute dud, which
no one's arguing.
Absolutely fit that mold. But Tannehill's substantially better than Fitzpatrick as a week-to-week regular season NFL quarterback.
Yeah, it's not close.
And I would hope Levis is substantially better as well.
All right, we come back.
I mean, I would hope Levis is at least Tannehill.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex, 1025-106.3 The Game. Last half hour, PK in for Robbie Stanley. We got more Henry reaction.
Hey, come on.
Oh, no, hold on. This is what I want to say.
You got on mute yourself. It's not up to him.
He and I have a deal. I just posted a comparison on Twitter, a link to a comparison between Fitzpatrick and Tannehill.
Oh, did you?
Fitzpatrick played more games. Tannehill has better numbers than everything.
Well, let's see. Someone, this is an unnamed texter, says someone saying they would take Fitzpatrick over Tannehill is a weird way of saying I've started drinking already,
or I haven't stopped from last night.
Okay, so more reaction. Cameron says yes. Cameron, who is big on yes, they should have traded him. Again, in retrospect, I think most people would say that, but I respect the people who Derrick Henry made the experience more valuable and who were fans of Derrick and will be fans. Do you respect Titans fans who are going to be rooting for Derrick Henry with the hated Baltimore Ravens?
No.
Is that okay?
No.
Oh, I do. I completely disagree.
I hate people who follow players and root for them with other teams. Are you a fan of your team or not?
Why can't you be a fan of an individual? I mean, are you like
Ravens are a despised franchise by this team.
Mm-hmm.
Number one arch rival.
Okay.
The guy changes sides, he's now the enemy.
All right, well, I'll take reaction on that.
You can't now go, oh, I got to check the Ravens' score. That's ridiculous.
I mean, again, maybe not,
ridiculous.
Oh, I hope the Ravens win, but
have
I hope.
Some stones so it's and stand for your team.
So it's ridiculous to root for him to do well with them?
You could want him to do well. If they're on the goal line against a team for a win at the end of the game, you cannot root for him to score for them to win. No. You hate the Ravens.
I think you can. I think it's a free country. Cameron says,
so
yes.
Lame. So lame the way people root for their for people over teams.
For humans. It's so lame that you like other humans. All right, Cameron says, yes, and by trading Henry, we would have lost more games and not been stuck picking a huge right tackle to play out of position. The Titans just aren't capable of doing the sensible thing. Justin says, Henry.
By the way, the biggest thing to me here is that they could have got a conditional third. I thought they never could have gotten that much. I think that's the Ravens giving up way too much.
Although I will say, if you're a Ravens fan, would you like to replay the Chiefs game with Derrick Henry in the backfield? Because they ran for like 9 yards in that game. If that gets you over the hump in one game, and maybe it doesn't.
Derrick Henry had one game where he ran 16 times for 9 yards last year.
I'm aware that he didn't run for 200 every game. But still, would Derrick Henry? Do you think that Derrick Henry might have been a little bit more help than Gus Edwards in that game?
Yeah.
Okay. Justin says Henry is the player that got my 8-year-old son in the Titans. I took him to what I thought could be Henry's last game. We got to experience that speech together. Great memory for me. Glad we didn't trade him. Kaharski thinks you're an idiot, Justin. Boo, Justin.
It's great
and you
had
better
that.
Not root for him in Baltimore.
It's great you had that. But what if you made this trade? You didn't go to that game because he wasn't on that team. But this year, you're at their week 15 game where a rookie pass rusher gets a crucial sack at a crucial point in the game where they clinch a playoff spot. Wouldn't that be a great memory?
You got high hopes for this one draft pick. Kyle on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, would like to weigh in. He's got a Will Levis question. Kyle, what's up?
How's my favorite people doing this morning?
Great.
Good,
thank
man.
You.
How you doing, buddy?
All right. Well, I just want to get y'all's take on what y'all's expectations for Will. I hear a lot of boom or bust. If Will Levis turns into a 12 to 15 ranked quarterback this year, that's absolutely a win. And I just don't understand why people are saying boom or bust. And what are y'all's expectations for him this year if the line holds up?
So that's where
Thanks,
I
Kyle.
Think he'll be.
Well, I agree with Kyle.
12 to 15.
Well,
and
if that's the case, then it's a. If he's 12 to 15,
yeah,
you think he'll be there?
I think he'll be 15-ish, probably.
Well, then there's no question. That's a huge win. No, I agree. There's no. the boomer bust is, whoever's saying that is not being realistic. And that's why the question I posed to you and TD, which you just can't just give a freaking straight answer. I mean, that's it. Look at this league. Whatever you think of Trevor Lawrence, I'm doing what the Jags did.
Yes.
Of course. And
his pedigree is much better than Will Levis.
Well, his pedigree coming in, yeah, the expectations for him were sky high. He's going to be a generational quarterback. Very different. But do you think that Will Levis could be the level of quarterback that we have seen from Trevor Lawrence so far in Jacksonville?
You'd take Trevor Lawrence over Will Levis right now in a second. You should.
I would take Trevor Lawrence. He's more proven. But again, I don't give a crap what someone's supposed to be. That happens every year.
But based on what he's done so far, you would take him over Will Levis's potential in a second.
No, it's a larger sample size of good play. It's not great play, though. No. Like, to Kyle's point, there's no boom or bust with Trevor Lawrence.
Here's the reason he feels boom or bust. Because there are a lot of people who think he's going to suck. And then,
particularly in
national
bust.
Media. And
these people who expect
and there
bust.
Are a lot right. of local fans who are really, really into him who probably think he's going to be – his ceiling is higher than it actually is. So that's where he's getting a feeling that it's boom or bust.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more bust expectation than boom. Yeah, there aren't a lot of people.
Well,
a lot more people
loud with megaphones, with microphones, who – think bust.
Yeah, if Will Levis is a top half of the league quarterback this year, then he's on his way to he is the guy
and
he's on his way to getting that contract, and it's a big win, because if he gets to that this year, again, it's second year, it's his first year as a full-time starter, first time in this offense with these coaches, with these play callers, with this QB coach, all that stuff, and he gets to that, and yeah, the Titans have upgraded. But we don't know how good the offensive line is going to be. Don't know how good Calvin Ridley, a clear 1A? Is Hopkins? I mean, there's so many questions still, even with the improvements around him. If he gets to that, you tell me he's getting that, that's a gigantic win.
I agree.
I don't necessarily agree with you that that's – I mean, you almost seem like it's a matter of fact that that's going to happen.
There are a lot of bad quarterbacks in the NFL.
Well,
I think it's as much that as it is him being – especially good.
I think you're right, but I think around the there's about 20, though, aren't there? Like, there's about 20, even into like 21, 22, if you went through all of them, where it's like, if you're better than that guy, you go to like 20, it's still a pretty good, or maybe it's one of the promising rookies or whatever. That would be a very good spot for him. Dustin is back on the text and says, hell no, Levis over Lawrence all day just for the talent and the dog. Get out of here, PK. Dustin is coming out with some takes today.
Hard overhead.
I think,
overhead right there.
But I will say, like, I think that – do I think it's possible for Levis to be better than Trevor Lawrence? I think it's possible.
Possible.
Per Paul, you guys should fire D. Mason. He was a Raven. I don't know that Paul was quite going there.
I wouldn't go in there, but D. Mace, I think I don't know what he says now. There was a point at which he identified himself as a Raven. Post football career,
yeah. Well, yeah, and obviously, I don't know all that went
down.
Now
he settled in Tennessee, and I think he probably, commentating on the Titans feels more like a Titan now than he did right at the end of his career when he considered himself a Raven. I don't know where he stands on that.
There's often hard,
but
feelings.
That would bother me if I was a Titans fan if he considered himself more of a Raven.
That's actually a good question. I'd like to. I'm asking D. Mace. For today, that's a good
to
question.
Declare yourself.
Obviously,
associate
with his with his job here. He's here. He goes to practice, and he talks about the Titans all the time. But like, if they were to play, what's your heart say? That's an interesting. So Derrick Henry. Now, I don't think there are hard feelings with him moving on here to Baltimore, but. What if he wins a ring with
the
Ravens?
He's not going to play 8 years.
No, but what if he plays? What if he plays? What's the deal? 2-year deal, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's hard to imagine it goes, but let's say these 2 years are incredible and they extend him, and he's Frank Gore in a with 80 more pounds on him, and he wins a ring there. And when he goes into Canton, what jersey is he wearing?
You don't. It's not a thing for Pro Football Hall of Fame. You're not designated as on a team. It's not like picking a hat for Cooperstown.
The word's eluding me. The
bust.
The displays still have no.
Just as a write up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I still want them to declare something. I want everybody to declare. I'm going in for this team. I've got some people. Robert does think you're right about the Ravens. You do have some support on your Ravens take. I disagree. I think
if you're rooting for the Ravens this year because of Derrick Henry, then your Titans fandom is not as strong as you want to believe.
No.
Period.
Again,
period.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying rooting for him.
If you're rooting for him, the degree to which you're rooting for him involves rooting for them to win. And if you're rooting for them to win, your Titans fandom is not as strong as you want to believe. Period.
It's null and void.
Period.
You're kicked out of
Titans
fandom.
It's not null and void,
PK,
but it's not as significant as you think it is. It's almost like burning a Titans sweatshirt, jersey, whatever.
All right.
You've got to make some hard choices as a fan. You can't be wishy-washy and do all this stuff. You can be, but it delegitimizes you. And this is a hard and fast thing. This is not me being some, like, rule maker. Are you in or are you out?
A little bit.
Look, I'm a fan of the teams I'm a fan of. If you're a Yankees fan and you root for the Mets on the side, you're not a Yankees fan to the degree you think you're a Yankees fan.
Didn't you say that your favorite player was Greg Nettles?
Yes.
Did he?
And I didn't go crazy for the Padres when he got traded there.
Did you root for him, though?
I was happy to see him do well, but I was not obsessed with it. I was not checking
Padres. No one's
talking
about people being obsessed with the Ravens.
I was not checking Padres box scores on a daily basis. I was interested in Mike Pagliarulo, who replaced Greg Nettles, because I was concerned with the Yankees.
How did he do? How'd that work out for you?
It was okay for a while, and then he wasn't so good.
All right, we come back. There's a lot of reaction to this topic, so we'll probably do a lot of that. Robbie and Rex showed 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Final segment, Robbie and Rex showed 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Paul Kaharski for Robbie Stanley and John Fogarty. These tickets we're giving away right now. August 7th, First Bank Amphitheater. You get those emailed to you Monday. And let's go. Let's take it easy on the folks. But how about caller three? Caller three, John Fogarty tickets there for you.
Three times three. Nine. Caller nine.
We did caller nine already. Jackson says, Nettles going to the Padres on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Nettles going to the Padres is like if Henry went to the Panthers. Him going to the Ravens is like if Nettles had gone to the Red Sox. That's an interesting point.
If he went to the Red Sox, it would have hurt me as well, and I would not have rooted for him there. The Yankees would have seen him more often. But the point is, my favorite player went to a different team, and I didn't obsess on my favorite player going to a different team.
Okay.
I obsessed about my team.
Right. You, again, you're throwing words like obsess. I'm not saying obsess.
There are going to be people who are like that. I guarantee you. We've seen it happen
it's
before.
It's perfectly reasonable for Titans fans to, if they are watching a Ravens game, want Derrick Henry to do well. Check the box score and hope that he has good numbers. Those things can happen, and yeah, you know, the wins and losses. Yeah, you know, it's. I think to me, it's kind of like. I mean, if you're in a playoff race with the Ravens, or your team
you
is
are.
Actually good. Well, early, yeah, you are with everybody, but like as the season unfolds. I mean, look, last year, the
so now you're going to put them on a sliding scale. Oh, we're probably out of it, and the Ravens are in it, so I'm going to root for the Ravens. Now, I want Derrick Henry.
I think it's more acceptable.
That's outrageous.
No,
you
it's not.
You hate the Ravens. Were you here for any of the Ravens stuff?
Sure.
Then you don't understand, clearly, the rivalry
between
hated
teams. Well, I wasn't here for, like, the early the 2000 stuff. Yeah, I understand it. I do, okay? But, okay, so generally asking a Titans, last year, the Chiefs and the Ravens played in the AFC title game. Some people just like to root for one side or the other. Maybe some people you're betting on the game.
At that point, you can do what you want.
Okay.
But most
that's what I'm talking about.
Most Titans fans would be against the Ravens in that case.
I think some Titans fans probably were rooting for the Ravens to beat the Chiefs because they're sick of the Chiefs. Right?
Maybe. But the good share of Titans fans I know hate the Ravens.
I mean, the Chiefs took the Titans out of a Super Bowl a couple years ago. Why not hate the Chiefs?
They don't feel the same way about that. There's not a long-standing history. They didn't twist Chris Johnson's ankle Algie Crumpler didn't fumble against them. Del Greco didn't miss field goals against them. There's not the history there.
How about the Bengals? I mean, you got to hate them, right? That's a pretty painful one. That's a pretty painful one. Coy in Clarksville says, being a Titans fan is like being in a toxic relationship. You hold on to that little bit of hope, and it never works out. I guess I'm used to disappointment. But a lot of people are supporting what you're saying. Again, I'm not saying you should be rooting for the Ravens. I do understand people. I think there's special players over your time as a fan that are different. Someone asked me to ask you, what if the Yankees traded Jeter in 13 for assets, for example? Like,
Yankees wouldn't trade Jeter in 13 for assets, so it's a dumb question.
Okay, so you won't even answer the hypothetical. So I'll give you – I think I've talked
assets.
About this.
The Yankees trade for assets.
So
– we're living in la-la land.
Yes, I'm sorry, your beloved Yankees. So when the Tigers lost Kirk Gibson and he signed with the – I absolutely devastated as a fan. You know, as a teenager, I was devastated. I was furious, mostly at the Tigers, but also, like, how could Kirk Lee, all this stuff. And, you know, I kind of kept tabs on him. The next year with the Dodgers, he was incredible. He won the MVP. And I will say that by the time he got to the playoffs, like, when he hit that home run off Eckersley, I was yelling and running around the house. It was, you know, I mean, like.
Hugely different circumstances. Two leagues that don't play each other.
True.
A guy in a World Series for a team that has no connection to Detroit whatsoever. As an independent franchise.
But there was still the personal connection as a fan with the player. That's what I'm talking about. That still was part of it, too. And that, in this instance, that aspect of it, to me, is totally acceptable.
It doesn't hurt your Tigers at all that he hits a home run to win the World Series.
People are – yeah, see, all these people are, like, angry and on your side, so I won't read their text. But no, I'm just kidding. Jackson says, I'm with Paul on this. F the Ravens now and forever. Adam in Portland, the Raven twisting Chris Johnson and stomping on our field years later, a-hole just like their a-hole head coach Brian Billick. Brian Billick was especially unlikable too. Boy, that was what an unlikable bunch, huh? Titans players should never accept contracts from the Ravens, says this texter. Go Paul, go! I would never cheer for a Raven. Okay, look, if you hate the Ravens so much that Derek, you are dead to me. That's fine too. I'm not saying there's a wrong answer.
He has to be dead.
But I'm not. But I am saying that it's not a wrong answer to root for Derek Henry.
I'm saying if you root for Derek Henry, you're rooting for the Ravens. If you're rooting for the Ravens, you're not a high level Titans.
Paul Kaharski has booted you from.
It's a fact.
Weston Clarksville says, when Mariota left, I was rooting for him to be good.
That is pathetic.
I didn't like the team he was on, but I know he was a good person. Why is that pathetic?
What? Just this good person thing. Why doesn't that matter?
They're just robots? They're just stat robots? Well, you can't judge people by people? We're all humans, Paul.
Good person.
Be a human, Paul.
That's great. Good person. Go be a good person somewhere else. On my football team,
I want
good football players.
Wordless AI stat compiler. That's what you want.
I don't want that at all. Okay. I want a great talker who's a great guy who, first and foremost, is a great football player. The love for Mariota was out of control. It's so disproportionate to the quality of his football. It was ridiculous. And the fact that he then went, where was his first stop? To the Raiders.
Yep.
And people were rooting for him on the Raiders because he was a nice guy. Embarrasses me. Oh, my God, he was a nice guy. Jarrett Payton was a nice guy. I don't know if he got a cup of coffee somewhere after he left here. But Nashville's ability to root for nice guys who were not good football players is incredible. I wish I could reorganize Nashville, rewire it to root for good players instead of Byron Ealy.
I mean, come on. You're throwing these names out. Mariota was a number two pick. It did not work out. He won some games here. Yeah, he made some plays here.
He did a little bit.
Yeah,
and then it was time to move on. And then he was replaced by a guy who took him to the AFC Championship game.
I understand all that.
And I got to check in on Mariota over here on the Raiders because he was a nice guy.
No, but it wasn't just he was the face of the franchise for 5 years, right? Or 4 years. So
when the time came, thank God it was.
There's nothing wrong with hoping he does, wishing him well after that. Nothing wrong at all.
Wishing him well is different than tracking him on the Raiders as a backup quarterback.
I'm going to try to get through this flurry here. Robert says, Henry shouldn't have gone to the Ravens. He could have gone anywhere else. No, screw that, Robert.
No, he's free to do whatever
he wants. He got the best deal that he got.
In a great situation.
And by the way, he could win a ring there.
He's
now, that's
in a
ridiculous.
Great situation.
The idea that you would say because fans hate a team that you should, I mean, that's, no. Get out of here.
He's making a business
decision. Coy in Clarksville
decision.
Says, that's it, blocking Paul on Twitter like Big Jeff did Stillman.
The guy that hurts me so badly.
Stillman thinks that you're very jealous, by the way, that Jeff hasn't blocked you yet. So you're going to have to get
I don't
that.
Like being blocked by players. It's difficult then to, when they say something like Jeff saying, criticizing the media, to see it. I want to be able to see that.
Wes in Clarksville says, same for Tannehill. If he gets to a new team, I will root for him. Texter says, I divorced my third wife for wearing purple. Go Titans. The Ravens winning is beneficial because they'll likely be beating teams competing with the Titans for Walker. There you go. There's, you know, the Ravens could help out your team by winning. What about that?
In a specific game, you can't pre-prescribe that. I'm going to root for the Ravens this year because I'm sure they're going to win a division, which could be won by Cleveland or by Cincinnati. So I'm going to pre-prescribe that they're beating teams that I'm competing with for the wild card. That guy doesn't think the Titans can win the division. So he's a bad fan. He doesn't have hopes that his team's going to win the division. He's already got him only playing for a wild card.
The Texans are going 15-2. Gover says, does that fan feel the same way when Preds players sign with Detroit? That's ridiculous. Jackson
Why
says,
is that ridiculous?
I'm not even sure. Like, there's been so much reaction to this. I'm getting confused as to who said what. Jackson says, Joe, you're wrong. Give it up. And Robert is saying, I'm not backing down. I think it's totally fine for Titans fans to root for Derrick Henry. So I support you, Titans fans who do. And I don't think you should be.
Root for a player without rooting for his team. You're rooting for Derrick Henry to have three touchdowns and for the Ravens to lose 24-21?
Why not? What's wrong with that?
That can't
happen.
Specific rooting. What are you, Harry Potter, mixing up a recipe for certain things to happen and other things not to happen?
Maybe.
If Derrick Henry has big success, the Ravens are going to have big success.
I don't know, man. I support you still, Titans fans.
Thank you, people, for being sensible. I appreciate it. I
appreciate Big Joe coming up
having been here for 3 days. I love it. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks.
Jason Big Joe coming
up
next.
102.5.
106.3 the game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.